Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The mamas, bonus moms, office moms, moms of moms. This Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given us so much. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all your amazing moms with handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. Yes, that's right. You have joined us for a live edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Ah, man. If you are here with us live, then you already know how this goes. But I'll tell you, just in case you're a newbie, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kamaya. Joining me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling tonight, man? 1 year. We've been doing this for 1 year.
I can't believe it, Mark. Like I said, I thought for sure you would have ditched me by now, probably about 3 weeks in. But yeah, we're still here 1 year later, 50 tracks in. Tonight, we're going to be spinning the wheel for tracks 51 and 52. And what I can't believe is all the amazing people that have kind of joined us on this journey, either just listening to the show and commenting along with us, who we're hopefully going to be hearing from tonight, like our good friend Tom Armbruster, or Armbruster. Let's bring him in there. See, he doesn't feel tardy. Chaz, you know, he says sit down, Waldo. So we're going to have a whole bunch of comments from our regulars here tonight. I can't wait for all that. And we've got some special guests, Mark. Maybe let's start introducing them and bringing them on the stream.
Yes, we'll do that. But I love how Corey insists that it was going to be me that ditches him, considering only one of us has about 1,000 different podcasts that he does already on top of this one. So we'll just leave it at that. But yes, as you say, we've got guests. We have some regulars. We have actually some of our more well-known regulars joining us on the show today. So I'm not going to introduce them in terms of how much I enjoy them versus how little I enjoy them, because that's just not the case. I love them all equally. That's right. I love you all equally. Thank you for being on the show. So introducing first, I'll just go ahead and say it. Right from the Tom Petty Project, you know him, Kevin Brown is with us. Bring in Kevin Brown. How you doing, Kevin? From Van Halen News Desk, the guy that really kind of helped put us on the charts, as it were. I think it's safe to say that Eric Sinich is joined us with the show, the fan favorite, as always. No offense to Eric, no offense to Kevin, but it's Kelsey Van Halen joining us. Kelsey, the fan favorite, as always. Yes, thank you so much. And of course, not to be outdone, journalist and author Heath Murphy. I think it's Murphy, right? It's McCoy. It's not Murphy at all. Heath Murphy is a guy I used to know back in high school. That is just not even remotely.
And we are off to a flying start.
You both have the Irish stuff going on. You know, they're both Irish names. There you go.
And I tell you what, Mark, I sent out a ton of invites, so we're going to have people dropping in throughout the night. And we got one here now from the Magicians podcast, the Uriah Heep Show, and now permanent co-host on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. Scott Askin is dropping by.
Hey!
Nice. What's up, Scott?
What's up?
All right.
So this is the crew for now. We're supposed to have one more. Greg Renoff, unfortunately, has the flu. He isn't feeling well enough to join us here tonight. But, Eric, you're a little under the weather, too.
Yeah, I got the COVID. COVID. Wednesday. Tested positive for it. I have been stuck in my apartment since Wednesday afternoon.
Oh,
yeah. So here I am, man. I'm here. What's up, Greg? Where are you?
It is a tradition. I mentioned it off camera, but I mentioned it is kind of a tradition for COVID positive people to record on the show, including Corey and myself and now Eric. So,
I signed the contract. I have to be here. And I did say to Corey and Mark, you know, I could get you guys some serious ratings. I may pass away in the middle of the show.
Stay tuned for that.
So stick around.
It may be the most rocking show we ever do, but here's hoping. But let's not dwell on death and despair, because this is a show for celebration. As I said, we've been doing this 1 year, so this is our 1 year sort of anniversary party, as it were. And we're going to give you the show that you know and love so much. We're going to do it live. So, that being said, if you've listened to us whatsoever in any capacity, you know this shit can go off the rails real fast, and that is when we've recorded and edited. So who knows what's going to happen tonight? I am looking forward to it. Corey, as the editor, are you looking forward to just absolute mayhem?
Well, I don't have to edit anything. This is going to be great. We can just drop these as podcasts tomorrow after the fact and be done with it. I don't have to cut out all my stupid bullshit. So I'm just going to be really quiet, and we're going to let all the very smart people who are on the panel here tonight do the talking for me, because we got some real beauties on here. I know, Kelsey, you mentioned everybody's absolute favorite. The world fell in love with Kelsey. Eric is now the resident Van Halen expert because Greg couldn't make it because he had the sniffle. And
because we have now an expert in Van Halen, that legitimizes this podcast. So all of you guys waiting to chime in the comments, ready to tell us how much we suck, well, that may be, but at least we got an expert on our hands. So
that's right. Bleh.
And you got somebody with a Van Halen bar stool.
Yeah. You guys at home don't have that.
Take that, trolls.
Yeah.
Pig fuckers.
So it begins.
Yeah, it already begins. But how are each and every one of you? Thank you for joining us for this live show. We know how Eric is. He's holding in, holding strong, and we appreciate you, Kevin Brown. How you doing, man?
I'm drinking great beer. I'm happy to be here, and it's great to actually meet some people who I've only heard on my headset so far. It's just awesome.
Nice.
I've met Eric, though, and Eric is a fantastic conversationalist. I'm really looking forward to it.
GP! Not Betty, man. Yeah.
Heath McCoy, how you feeling? And I'm sorry that I did not get your last name correctly. That was really dumb.
Is it because of the Dave Sammy thing? Is that why?
Subconsciously, I think it might be, yeah.
I think so.
I'm not going to say no.
I consider that a microaggression, man. I'm doing good. I'm real happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. Fan favorite, Kelsey. Kelsey, thank you so much for being here. How are you feeling? And are you ready to rock?
I'm always ready to rock. Yeah. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. As always, I love being here, and I'm excited to be here with everyone. So,
right, the center square.
That's
Hollywood
right.
Hollywood squares.
I'll try to do it justice. Yeah.
Which one is our Paul Lynde then?
No, that's what happened.
I mean, that's either really funny or problematic. So I guess that's me. I'll be him.
I hear Jim J. Bullock is going to be here in a second, too.
Oh, that's Kevin
Jim
Brown.
Jim J. Yeah. Bullock.
I don't get any of these references.
That's what I was thinking. The old timers, you know?
Yeah. The old timers. timers and Mark, the mid-timer. It's fine. We'll explain it.
Hey.
We'll have Scott Haskin explain it to you. Scott, how you feeling, man?
Well, I could be your Paul Lynde.
Yes!
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I got to say, because a lot of you guys may not know this, but for one, I get to hang out with Corey all the time now, which is fantastic, doing the Backtracks Aerosmith show. But Mr. Mark Kammeyer is quite a vocalist. You've got a lot of talent, my friend.
Me? Oh,
hell go yeah. On.
I try. Yeah. I try really hard.
You just posted a video a couple of days ago, didn't you, Mark?
I did. We just had the Hollywood Halloween Bash on Halloween night over at in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Exit Inn. A group of people put that show together, and I'm lucky enough to have performed at it. Sadly, that might be the last time I ever perform on that stage, as the Exit Inn is on its way out, because apparently, instead of having traditional classic music venues in a town called Music City, it's more prudent to put up condos and apartments and just, you know, just tear them all down, because that's what's important. We have to bring in tourists, you know, the tourists that want to come tour the city and see live music, maybe? I don't know. It's a sore subject, and we're very disappointed. That's the bittersweetness of it all. But I got to be on a stage that has been shared by many a great artist, and I'm taking it in stride. At least I'm trying to. So yes.
Cool.
Tell you what, we've already got some comments coming in, Mark. Do you want to read these out? Here's
okay. From Scott Monroe. Good evening from Maine. It weirdly got above 70 degrees today, and I could barely see the road from the heat coming off. I see what you did there.
I understand that reference.
Yeah. I don't think it gets that warm in Maine. I could be wrong, but I don't know. It seems that doesn't seem right, but I'll take your word for it, Scott.
I'm not in favor of this one at all. See, Eric and saying, love the show. Can't wait to break down Pleasure Dome. You get that evil out of here.
That might be it. Do not even speak it.
Yeah, it might have been a jinx, but I'm here for it.
Everybody's loving Kelsey in the center square. I'll take Kevin Brown to block.
Thank you all for being in the chat and contributing some comments. Share the link around. Get all your friends that are into rock music and Van Halen specifically. Be like, come look at these bunch of fools joined by some really cool people talk about Van Halen. Just wait till they spin the wheel. But before we get to that, Corey, we always like to discuss some Van Halen news. So honestly, I'm asking you because you're good about bringing it to me, but instead I think I'm going to go over to Eric from Van Halen News. Hey, Eric, while you're riddled with the COVID, I have to ask, what's going down in Van Halen News these days?
Yeah. I mean, I've been rattling off article after article because I've been just hanging out, and anything that I see that comes up, I just pop it up there. So you're going to see my name there a few times. Actually, we just put up Rick Beato. Do you guys know Rick Beato? He's
not personally.
He's on YouTube. He's got like a million plus subscribers on YouTube. So he just posted a video. He's got quite a few on Van Halen where he breaks down their songs. The one he just put up, he's just asking, what is Van Halen's greatest song? Which is, the timing of it is interesting because, you know, this show is all about Van Halen songs. And I wrote in the lead, not even Tom Cruise can make this mission possible. You know, there are so many songs that you can pick, but that's interesting. People are putting in their votes for songs there. The big one this week, though, is Sammy is still trying, man. He's trying to make peace with Alex. He told Eddie Trunk that he has reached out to Alex about a handful of times since Eddie passed. And Alex is just not responding. And Sammy's just not, he's not sure why. He thinks, he believes it's his book, the book Red. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the reason. But we don't know why. Alex is just doesn't want to talk to him. And so Sammy is still, he's still telling that, that story of how he wants to at least make peace with Al. I think the book was a big issue. I mean, there was some stuff in there that, You know, that's it was. I mean, Eddie wasn't happy, I'm sure, but Sammy says he made peace with Ed, and I don't know. But anyway, you could read that article there. What else? Not much. Oh well, you guys mentioned a couple things. The it was a week ago in 1996 that the Best of Volume 1 came out. So I just put up a poll there. The two new songs that they made with Dave, Me Wise Magic, Can't Get This Stuff No More, and it wasn't even close. People, you know, Me Wise Magic got the majority of the votes. I think we got even as of now, it's close to 3,000 votes, and Me Wise Magic got over 2,100, and Can't Get This Stuff No More got 800 and just under 830, which
wow
tells you,
yeah. Wow.
And then there's a new Sammy podcast, The Bogus Odin Show, which is cool. So, but that's been pretty much it. Like I said, the big story was Sammy. I don't know. What do you guys think, Ben? You think Alex should just say what's up to him?
I think sometimes I feel like Alex is, you know, how is like the Malcolm Young of Van Halen. You know, you know, you had the two stars always, but then you always heard that Malcolm was the guy behind the scenes that really ran the show. Sometimes I wonder if that's Alex, you know, everything locked down as it is, and how that they don't honor the legacy as much as they should. Sometimes I wonder if that's all, you know, Alex.
Well, yeah. I mean, Wolfgang has said that as far as any tribute goes, he's leaving it to his Uncle Al to do what he wants to do with it.
Well, Scott says maybe I'll come to Sammy in a dream too. Who knows?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, it's interesting because Sammy says things that are often disputed, or you know, they're fact checked by some. And Jesse Harms played on a lot of Sammy's albums. Jesse Harms was on VOA. That's the album with I Can't Drive 55. And then Sammy got the Van Halen gig. And in the book read, Sammy says that he paid all of his band members, you know, because he felt bad. You know, and Jesse Harms said, and it's in the article, you can read it on VHND, that Jesse's like, I don't know what he's talking about. He never paid us. You know, I mean, he said Sammy was, you know, we're cool. I mean, he said Sammy let him use his house while Sam went out to L.A. to work with Van Halen and stuff like that. But that happens a lot with Sammy. The funny thing is the years where he's off on years, you know, in concerts. So funny. You know, like he'll be,
I think he's up on album sales sometimes too.
1995.
You got to think though, when you read that book though, when you read Red, like he didn't so much stab him in the back, he stabbed him in the front. Like there was no, he didn't disguise kind of, you know, he really kind of put it all out there. So I could totally see if some of it wasn't entirely accurate, or even if it was, that, you know, Alex there might be a little bit pissed off about that and be a bit reticent to get in touch. Yeah. I understand that, you know, and I'm a Sammy guy, right? So,
well, yeah, it's not about, I mean, look, I'm a fan of Sam and Dave, man. It's, I mean, this is big business stuff. And when you're writing a book, you know that Sammy was told, look, you know, I wonder if Sammy would have written the book if that stuff didn't go down, because that's the kind of stuff that sells books. And when you're writing those books, that's what the publishers want. They got to have something that they can sell the book on. Now, if that, none of those chapters on Ed and all that ugly stuff that was in there is not in that book, that book sells maybe half of the copies that it ended up selling. So, you know, Sammy did what he did. It's a decision he made. Yeah. I know he's said in the last year or so that he's had second thoughts about it. I don't get the sense that he would have. I don't think he's apologized. I mean, I think he's just, that's my version of what happened, and I'm going to put it out there. Usually that's the kind of stuff that a guy would write at the end of his career when he's not worried about burning bridges. I mean, apparently at that point he just figured, I'm not coming back to the band, so, you know, fuck it, I'm putting it in there. And he was hurt by some of the things that that happened, but Ed was going through a rough time. I mean, when you're going through a rough period like that, if it was, you know, if there was addiction issues there and all that, you know, I don't know. Look, it's not something I would put in a book, but he did it. And if that's why Al's pissed, he's got to, that's, you know, he made that bet. He's got to lie in it. I mean, unless he apologizes and says, look, man, I'm sorry. But he doesn't know why Al's pissed. He said, but then the other problem is he doesn't make it any better when he says, I don't know, Al's got a stick up his ass. That's not going to help.
No.
You know?
No, yeah. Stick up his ass, maybe. Like, or, you know, he's in mourning still. And
right. Yeah, right.
But you got to say, Matthew Perry can tell you, you got to say something to get your book sold, even if it's saying some outlandish shit.
Right.
Mark, didn't you take a dig at that douche on?
I have taken so many digs at there was a time where I thought maybe Matthew Perry was an okay dude, and now I'm just like, no, this is you got a lot of issues, dude, and I get it. You gotta sell a book, but get out of here with that shit.
Man. He forced Valerie to address an issue.
Yeah. So
it's like, you know, do we need to know that shit? It is what it is.
Tom is wondering something here. Maybe Eric can intelligently speculate, but he says, makes me wonder if some of the bad mouthing of Mike in Eruption was put there on purpose.
The bad mouthing of Mike in Eruption, the book?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
We're talking about this one, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the one.
Which, by the way, you can purchase at the Van Halen store. Just saying.
Signed by the author, I believe.
I interviewed these guys, man. They're so cool. Brad Talinsky and Chris Gill. It's an outstanding book. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Ed had some things to say about Mike that's still just confounding. You know, nobody really knows still to this day why he wanted Mike out, like as far back as like 80 or 81. Like Billy Sheehan is on the record saying, yeah, you know, Ed gave me his phone number. Said, don't, you know. Hey,
he took shots at Mike that were beyond the pale too. Like, you know,
it's odd, but
reading somewhere where he said it, you know, basically said Mike couldn't play.
And
right.
He wrote all his bass lines and stuff. Yeah. I mean, Mike can play, come on. And even his voice, everyone praises Mike for his voice and being, you know, the background voice of Van Halen. He said he's just, what did he call him, a foghorn or something like that.
He said I could never hear him anyway. I remember him like saying something like that in the book. And I literally was like, I was like very surprised with like the stuff he had to say about him. I was like, I didn't think Eddie would say this like about someone in the band, but you never
know. Nobody seems to understand why. And Mike's not going to talk about it. Even Mike said it. If he writes a book, you're not going to read any of that stuff. Mike takes the high road on that. And it's weird. I just don't know why. And it's too bad because, you know, for the longest time, you know, for us guys who are older, I've been following the band since, 84, 85. And, you know, during the Sammy years, it just seemed like they were just best buds. I mean, at least that was the image that was put out there. And I think it was legit for a while. I mean, Sam and Ed were neighbors. And Sam has even said, you know, Ed was just the sweetest guy. And so even he had to understand. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that Ed said was just when he was in a real bad place. Look, I've been in places in my life where I'm just not doing good, pissed off at the world. And suddenly I find myself having more negative thoughts about people around me and things around me because I'm not happy, you know? And then when you get yourself in a better place, you're seeing the better and the best in everybody else and other things. So, I mean, we're all human. I don't, you know, it's, and it's gone. So what is, you know, what can you say? And again, this is like big business stuff and, you know, there's stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we'll never know about, but you know, from Ed's point of view, I think it was, you know, Mike had a fourth of the publishing and that after a while just kind of got on his nerves, you know. You know, they contended that Mike didn't make writing contributions. Yeah, Chaz, you're right. So, you know, I think, and then it was for 1984, they decided that, you know, Mike's not going to get any of the publishing anymore. I can't recall the specifics. But when Mike came back in 04 for the Sammy reunion, he had to take a huge cut. in order to be on that tour. That's the moment Sandy came back. And look, Mike never contributed to the songwriting, but it's fair to say that kind of what he contributed, you know, the vocals. I mean, that's part of the magic of Van Halen. So,
well, and the stage show too. I mean, anyone who's seen Van Halen live, Mike Anthony's a huge part of that. His energy, yeah. His, you know, just the presence on stage. It's a huge part of that band.
You know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I know John Fogerty talked about this multiple times in interviews, where in the early days of Creedence Clearwater Revival, he's writing all the music, but his intent was, look, I'm going to give you guys equal money on this, and because I want everybody to get along. And usually in the beginning, that's that thought, like all for one, one for all. But then as time goes on, there are going to be people who are like, hey, man, I'm in this fucking studio for, you know, three straight days writing music, you know, and so-and-so is off, you know, just doing whatever. I mean, that's not Mike's fault. Michael Anthony is just, look, you know, it is what it is. But, and even, I don't think Michael Anthony would have at any time said, look, if that's what you want, man, that's cool. You know, you could, you know, split it up differently. I don't know.
Now, Scott, you follow a lot of bands. You live in Las Vegas. This is completely unique to Van Halen, right? No other band ever has infighting.
Never. No, and all the bands just say, you know, we'll split the publishing evenly, and it's never going to change. And I mean, you look at what the Beatles did, and the Beatles were Lennon and McCartney. Oh, Harrison. You know, and then there's that one Ringo song on every album. It's a tough thing, because I always say that, regardless of who wrote the basic tracks of the song, everybody puts their stamp on it when they record it. Even if they go to him and say, here's how we like the bass line to go, or here's what we want the drums to do, everybody puts their own unique stamp on it. And I feel that everybody should have a part of it, whether they want to split out the percentages differently than, you know, maybe not evenly, but everybody's a part of every song that gets recorded. It's just that way.
Yeah. I just saw the interview with Bono on Stephen Colbert. And there's a band who's from day one. I mean, they're still together. Nobody's ever left. You know, it's that's rare. That's rare.
Super rare. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all still kicking, which is, even more rare for a rock band with such longevity. So
knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. Kudos to you, man. I mean, look, Bono's had some close calls, that's for sure, with like his injuries off, you know, outside of the band. But still, yeah, like that man's going to be like Keith Richards, just going to live forever for a nuclear holocaust. And it'll be
thought you were going to say Heath Murphy.
We don't know what happened to Heath Murphy, long gone. But Corey, though, I don't know if we should do it, because we have a poll that we could talk about, but a lot of the comments come from the very people in this room.
Yeah.
So no, and, I don't know if it's prudent for us to read them. Or if we if we just ask them point blank, like,
are we just living in a vacuum?
Well, you tell you what, I'll give you the poll results, and we can talk to everybody about what their thoughts on all mine were. But for the poll results, 78.2% What Dreams Are Made Of, 21.8% This Dream Is Over. So I'm surprised. I was expecting into the 80s for positives. So yeah, kind of surprised me a little bit.
So, which one of you did it?
And those are badass lyrics from Sammy, okay?
Yes, they are. Yep.
There it is. That's Eric Sinise saying it.
Lyrics, okay? Yeah. No, straight up, man. Those are some good lyrics.
They are. Yeah. But they're so goddamn earnest. I feel like, we're talking about Bono? I think he's trying to be Bono in that song. You know?
A year after the Joshua Tree album, right?
I mean, there are worse people to be.
This is true. When we did this Dave Frosty episode, we talked about that was Dave's take on religion almost, right? Lots of religion in there.
Yeah,
this
100%.
Is Sammy's take on religion. And I kind of felt like you get such a capsule of their different styles there. With David's all tongue-in-cheek, and you're like, what is he on about? You got to think about it a little bit, and it's witty, and it's funny, and weird. And then Sammy's was just very straightforward. You knew exactly what he was talking about. There's some killer lines in that song, though, for sure. You know, I gave it a Dreams Are Made Of, but barely.
Yeah, I was about to note, like, you did vote upwards, but only by a hair. But I'm curious, though. Let's see. Kelsey, what do you think of Mine All Mine?
Well, it's not one of my favorites on that album. I definitely think there's better ones. But, like, I agree. I like Sammy's lyrics. And but yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's like, if I was going to talk about that album, I wouldn't talk about that song, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
That's fair. Also, whose point of view I don't think we got, Scott Haskin, do you have any thoughts on Mine All Mine?
Yeah, I think it was one of the songs that if there had been a third option, I would have gone for it. And this is, again, coming from the most medium Van Halen fan who probably belongs in the bottom center square. it was an okay song. It was one that I didn't dislike it, but it didn't particularly strike me as one I would think, oh, you know, I really want to hear the song again. I kind of feel like I experienced it.
That's, you know, and that's fair. There are a lot of those we have found going through this journey, at least for me, where I thought, oh, this will be an easy win. And it's like, no, these were not easy wins. And some of them weren't wins at all. So I definitely understand you on that. But someone who said they had so much to say about this song was Kevin Brown. Yeah, you're grinning. What more could you possibly add to what you already did on Twitter?
Well, I won't go into it too deeply, but there is definitely sort of a fairly deep ontological discussion that Sammy's having in that, which is super interesting. If you're into sort of theology and religion, it's very, very interesting the way he's written that. Oh, yeah. But what I was going to say is I think one of the things about that song that I always liked right away is OU812 gets some stick because of the keyboards, and they went really heavily into that. That's the one song of that album I think balances the keyboards against the guitars best. It's one where it fits really well and they've used them really tastefully rather than it being, you know, too much or too little. So that, I always love that song. It's one of the first albums that I got into with Van Halen, and so it's got a special place in my heart. So
they played that on the Balance tour. Mine All Mine.
Cool.
And it's cool.
Well, there you
go. And in the back on the big screen, you see this dude surfing.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's very Sammy.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, that alone should get you guys to be buying up all the tickets for a Sammy show, because you get to see surfing on a screen. I want to see that. I do. I want to see that while he's blaring "I Can't Drive 55 in my face. But that's just me. You guys know. Pro Sammy.
Well, I know we don't have to ask Garrick. I know he voted "This Dream's Over." He has on every single Van Halen song we've done.
There's not a single, is there a single song you would ever downvote?
Let me think now.
He did admit he would have downvoted "How Many Say I."
Yeah, I downvoted it. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. You know, I mean, Pleasure Dome. Thank you. You know, but to each his own, man. Funny. I remember back when that album came out, my brother's girlfriend was playing in her car, and she goes, "I love this song." You know, but that seemed like a song that was an instrumental that it just didn't feel the Sammy's lyrics just didn't vibe with it. You know,
A little more forced. Is a drum solo.
but you know, having said that, I could sit and just, I can listen to it. It's not like I'm skipping over it. So I'm trying to think.
No, when you had a girlfriend in the car. Sorry, when you had a girlfriend in the car and she said she liked Pleasure Dome, you made her walk the rest of the way home, right?
Get out.
By the way, I jumped on Twitter and I supported Corey with the the Dave lyric. Night and Shining Pickup Truck.
Night and Shining Pickup
Banger.
I said, Corey, you could be my Night and Shining Pickup Truck anytime. People were like, what the fuck's going on with that? No, but there are songs that I will skip over only because I've heard them a zillion times. And working in radio, I played them. Running with the Devil is just a brilliant song, but I played it every night on the radio. So I would skip it, like Van Halen 2, I love, because a lot of those songs, you know, with the exception of "Dance the Night Away," it got a lot of airplay. However, I love that song. So there's certain songs that you play, you hear a lot, that you never get burned out on. But I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to hate on Van Halen.
That's the one you want to join.
But no, there are songs I'm burned out on. I'll put it down. All right, you got two. You got "How Many Say I," and you got "Pleasure Dome." All right.
I can add. I've got one. Ooh, one foot out the door right there. Oh, wow. Take that one out. I've listened to Fair Warning a lot, to be fair. Like, that's my favorite album. But like that song, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, everything else is so good on this album.
I'm on that one too.
Yeah. Right.
I love that song.
Hey. It just doesn't fit in the, in like with the album. That's it. Like that's, but whatever.
One of their biggest hits, Pretty Woman. I don't like Pretty Woman.
Wow.
I just don't like the song. I mean,
I think Eddie's tone on that though is magnificent. Oh, like his tone on it, like he did it perfectly.
But on the reverse,
spanked.
Fairly the line, and rightly so. And rightly so.
Yeah. On the other end of it is, I love Dancing in the Streets, their version, and a lot of people don't like it.
I don't. On the flip, yeah, I don't like Dancing in the Streets, but I like.
Oh, it's a banger.
That's one of the few Dave songs I'd vote down, probably, because Dancing in the Streets. I don't like what they.
Not surprised. Yeah, most people do.
Even Alex and Eddie were like, "We can't Van Halenize this." Like when they're doing that, when David Lee Roth first pitched Dancing in the Streets, right? Yeah. We don't know what to do with this, so they compromised and did Pretty Woman. And eventually, when they had to fill songs for Diver Down, they said, "Okay, well,
their version's the only one I can listen to." But that's just me.
Me too.
You know, like the Mick Jagger, David Bowie version?
Oh, I love that one.
That video.
I went as
when I came on the show last time.
My friend and I went as Mick Jagger and David Bowie one Halloween and from that video. I had like the lab coat and everything.
That video is neck and neck with the Billy Squire prancing around in the pink tank. Right there.
I like the other version of that song. And if you don't know what that is, just YouTube.
The what version?
Shredded with David Bowie and Mick Jagger.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I'm glad someone knew what I was talking about. Yeah, just look that up, you guys, and enjoy if you didn't know what that was. And enjoy the rabbit hole you will go down.
Oh, boy.
That one. with that being said, well, I mean, that's fair. I mean, look, that song's not going to be everyone's favorite. Fine, you know.
I'd rather hear Kelsey sing it than.
Hey!
There we go.
Hey.
Speaking of music, Mark, we're what, 36 minutes into a live show?
I was going to say.
Yes. And like, and look at this round table that we've assembled. So, you know,
look
of course,
what I brought.
It was going to. And there it is.
All right.
So
the whale isn't real. The whale isn't real.
It's all an illusion. But no, there is the infamous wheel. We bring it up all the time because still people think that we're full of shit, but there it is. It's right before your eyes.
Look at that sucker.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone can see on the practice spin tonight, we spun Unchained, which would have been perfect.
It's gonna if we don't spin it again that tonight, that will be very sad. And it's aha, yes, it does exist. You're right. It is so suck it, Santa Claus. This is real and you're not.
But why is every other song Pleasure Dome?
Who did that? Put that in there. It's weird.
I need help when we do Pleasure Dome. I need help when we got one, two, three, four, five other people on here. We got enough hands, I think, to cover Pleasure Dome. But Mark, let's do some manifestations. Like one of the seven of us should call their shot here tonight, right?
Well, chances are one of us is going to call their shot.
Look what you did to poor Tom.
Well, Tom. Santa's real in your heart, and that's the important
part. Shut up, Alan. We're not doing Pleasure Dome.
We might, Alan. We might. The wheel is wants us to have a very entertaining show, because I certainly do. But before we get into the spinning, we have to ask, because we do it every time. It's time to manifest. This is a live show. We all want to hear something in particular, I would imagine so. I want to hear it. We're going to start with Scott Haskins. Scott, you're here with us. We appreciate you. What song on this particular spin, this first spin, mind you, do you want to manifest and bring forth that you just really want to talk about?
You know, as the, again, the most medium Van Halen fan, I don't know that many of their songs. So I think I'm up for anything.
Up for breakfast, you said?
Up for breakfast.
We already did it. Damn. Oh, I don't want to hear that either.
And I don't think I'm going to win.
Well, there you go. That's a good
I'm good with anything that we pick. Especially Pleasure Dome. I kind of feel challenged now.
All right. Scott takes the coward's way out. How about Heath McCoy? What do you want to hear?
Same as last time. There's been hardly any, I think only one Diver Down's been in. It's such an underrated record. I would love to hear Diver Down. And if I picked one, it'd be Full Bug. Because for all their deep cuts, I think that's like one of their best songs. I love it. And I would dig Big Bad Bill because I think that'd be fun. But Full Bug.
That's a good one. And everybody watching right now, give us your choices. What do you want to hear tonight? Chaz already chimed in. A little Loss of Control.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be on board for that.
There you go.
Yep.
Kelsey, do you have a particular one you'd love to hear tonight?
Is this all the stuff we haven't done yet? This whole wheel?
Correct.
Okay. I would definitely love to hear Pound Cake. I could go off about that song. Girl Gone Bad, if you guys haven't done that yet. I love Girl Gone Bad. That's like one of Eddie's best performances in my opinion. I could go off about that song too. So those are my two.
So there you have it. We are manifesting a fuck song.
Full bug, I would say as well. Full bug,
little guitars, maybe.
Oh, little guitars, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
We'll get the intro too if we spin that one. So
yeah. So Eric, do you have one? And you can't say any of them. Like I'm gonna challenge you to go ahead and Scott gets a pass, but you don't. What do you want to manifest tonight? Are you gonna call your shot?
Well, as you know, I did call my shot on this program, and now that it's video, we're gonna have to reveal the secret. What I do when I manifest is I wear these glasses, right? And I do take a sip out of my Van Halen mug. Which, by the way, you can purchase at Van Halen Store. That's VanHalenStore.com for all your Van Halen needs.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, Dance the Night Away. Put it down in the books. Put it down in the books. There you go. I'm not taking these off until that song is shot.
You heard it right here. He's calling his shot. He is pointing outwards. He is looking for a Dance the Night Away. However, he might be thwarted because Kevin Brown's going to shoot his shot. Kevin, what song do you want to hear?
If we're just doing the first spin, 5150, baby. Ooh. I called it last time. I want to hear it again tonight. It's one of my favorite songs, not just Van Halen, it's one of my favorite songs of all time. So
I feel the confident energy from everyone tonight. So I think we're going to get probably at least one of those that they guessed, unless someone throws in a curveball, which I think my partner Corey Morissette might do. What are you manifesting, Corey?
Well, first of all, both Kelsey and Kevin stole my answers because I thought for the live show, we'd want to do a huge song. The two songs I think that were most requested or most anticipated on the show are Pound Cake and 5150. So I'd really love to get one of those. Let's go through some of the listeners right now. Alan wants to hear Where Have All the Good Times Gone from Diver Down. I think that would be an awesome choice.
Yep.
We have I'm the One.
Nice.
Right? I'm the One. I think it would be perfect. Everyone's loving Kevin. Look at that. Yeah, Kevin. See, everyone loves 5150. Nice. Kevin is not wrong. That's the first time he's ever heard that. And then Tom... 5150 is the tour shirt with the boys in straitjackets. That's absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll kind of put a chip on each one of those because I'd love to hear those. But I've been calling for this one for a while. I would love to hear about it later.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
None of those choices are bad at all. So it's kind of hard for me to. But honestly, look, one of my favorite Van Halen songs, my favorite we still haven't done, but one that I've been asking for a while because it just puts me in like the best mood. It puts me in the Van Halen mood. I really need to hear it. I really want to talk about Ain't Talking About Love. Absolutely just want to hear it. It might sound like an obvious choice, but sometimes the obvious answers are the right ones. So I wouldn't be mad about it. Wouldn't be mad about 5150 either. Pound Cake, any of them. I mean, anything from Diver Down, because, you know, we need to get on that. But it's not up to me. It's not up to Corey. It's not up to any of us. It's up to the fickle wheel. So we'll see how this first spin goes. Corey, when you are ready to prime this thing and get it going, it's time to listen to some Van Halen.
Kelsey, pick a number between 1 and 10.
Oh no, 6.
Okay, that's how many times I'm going to shuffle it here. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, none of you can blame me for this. Disclaimer.
Right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Run, 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 run.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh. Now, this is interesting because they removed a different kind of truth from streaming services, but I'm pretty sure I still have Tattoo.
All right.
Did we ever figure out why they did that?
Yeah, that's a great thing to talk about. What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell are they doing? Seriously. But, Spotify and Apple Music doesn't have it anymore.
What if you play it off of YouTube? Are you able to do that through this feed? You have to?
Yeah, but I do have...
Oh, will it get taken down, though? It wouldn't get taken down, would it?
Well, I'm hoping the whole feed doesn't get taken down at some point here.
Yeah, really.
We're going to be playing music, but we're going to be breaking in a lot, right? You guys will be waving. We're going to break in like we normally do. So, Tattoo, let's go around the horn. What are your feelings about this? This was the first single off A Different Kind of Truth in 2012, the big return of David Lee Roth and Van Halen. Let's start with Eric.
Tattoo, a really good third single. Shouldn't have been the first. Mm-hmm. One Fire, should have won. She's the Woman.
She's the Woman, yep. And I would have put She's the Woman
tempo.
One.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tempo. Not sure why they decided it. I don't agree with the haters of this song. It's a cool tune. It was odd because after all these years, we're waiting for Dave to be on another Van Halen album, and this was the first single. Strange, but it's a cool tune. I just don't agree with the choice of single orders on that. I wouldn't have not released it as a single. Mm.
It's one of the songs from the 70s, right, that they reworked?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which kind of, you can sort of sense those almost, right? Those ones, they feel like early Van Halen riffs. You can really kind of hear it.
Kevin, any thoughts on this one?
It's one of the, again, it's sort of a middle Van Halen. It's not one that I listen to a ton, but I would never turn it off if it's on. It's okay, you know.
Huh. Fair enough. Heath, first impressions of this song. Do you have any?
I love it. I don't understand all the hate this song gets. I mean, it's not even probably my top five on A Different Kind of Truth, but I really think it's a great song. Really great, clever lyrics, catchy chorus. I don't really understand because it got so much hate, and I don't really understand it. Never could understand it.
This should make an interesting conversation.
The bar was set so high, so high, the album that everybody was expecting.
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting this mind-blowing song.
Well, sure, and you know that can be. You kind of have to expect that from the super fans, you know, especially like anticipating an album like that, a reunion, as it were. So, yeah, I get it. Kelsey, do you have any first impression thoughts on Tattoo?
I'm going to say basically the same thing I said earlier. There's other ones on the album that I would rather talk about, I just don't really listen to it that often.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Star Wars came back, you know, that last trilogy, you know, the expectations were so high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing that first one. Yeah, right. I remember seeing that first one. I'm like, that was freaking cool, man. I loved it. You know, I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan, not a fanatic. Mm-hmm. But then I listen to all these podcasts of the fans, they're like, this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What the hell are they doing?
Good thing Sean Geek is not on the show right now. That would spin off into a tangent.
Where are those two knuckleheads? Why aren't they here?
Sean was doing something with family this weekend. He's going to try and hop on a little later, though.
Cool.
And Todd, he said he would be here, but hasn't shown up yet. Typical Todd fashion. He's fashionably late, but Tom hasn't warmed up to Tattoo yet. We'll see if his opinion changes after we spin it here tonight.
Yeah.
Chaz loves Tattoo. They play it in his band. That's awesome.
Nice.
Ray says, Different Kind of Truth is a terrific album. Great songs. Tattoo should not have been the single. There, we're all in agreement there. Mike enjoys Tattoos. Don't agree with the haters either. There you go.
Oh, and, Mike Green.
Mike Green says, it's really grown on me since Corey mentioned it. It's moving up on my faves. Good man. Yeah, mine too, actually. I love this record. So
there we go.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe they removed it.
Yeah.
I know. I was like heartbroken. I was like, wait, what? Because I love You and Your Blues. That's a great song.
It is a great song. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that one's gone.
And sure, I've got this CD somewhere. I've been rummaging around in my garage trying to find it because I don't listen to CDs anymore. I got vinyl or I got streaming. So once I find it, we'll be able to cover the rest of A Different Kind of Truth. But Tattoo, I do have here. What do you say, Mark? Should we give it a listen?
We should. This is my, I have not listened to this song since it first came out, and I do not remember it at all. I don't know if that should tell you how I felt about it at the time. But this, I'm actually looking forward to being either very pleasantly surprised or just very meh, as the haters might suggest. But I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Here we go. This is Tattoo from A Different Kind of Truth.
They want you to be sure you know what song you're listening to right off the bat.
Just in case you forgot.
In case you forgot, or in case you don't have like the cover near you or anything, or if it doesn't show up on your stereo or whatever you're listening to. Like, by the way, this song is Tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember Clapton's It's in the Way That You Use It? Right. Yes. Away.
Yeah.
It's in the way that you use it. Ah, there we go. There are lyrics.
I think to it with that huge
one.
Well, we hope those are the correct lyrics.
Right. First, one of the things I picked up on too is that fucking huge pick slide that Eddie does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pick slides were so overdone in the hair metal days. Everyone was in them every verse and every chorus. But even he just makes that sound cool as well. It's insane. It's just so cool.
Look at this. Mike throwing shade at Mark off the bat. Really surprised Mark didn't pick something from Van Halen 3.
And him. Why?
I think I would have been happier if they would have played even like a video game sound or just something other than announcing the song would have been better. But I love how heavy it comes in after that. That's a really good full sound after that.
That is a good start. So I'm pleasantly surprised, but I have to poke a little jab at the that little vocal intro. But that being said, at least the harmony is tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's keep going.
So I think, Heath, I think, are you a drummer as well? I think there's someone else who's on the...
I'm a drummer.
Yeah. I don't know if you feel the same, but I always feel that Van Halen are at the best when Alex is really just sitting in the pocket. Yeah, he's just laying that big fat beat down and he's not playing too much. He's not getting in the way because just lets those guitars ride over that backbeat. It just drips with like sleaze, right?
So absolutely.
That groovy.
That Philly came into it with even. I was like, oh.
Alex is very groovy.
Yeah.
And lyrically, this is awesome. I got Elvis on my elbow. Yeah. When I flex, Elvis talks.
I think it's clever. It's so clever.
Mark, I'm sure you have thoughts.
I do, but I don't know how to express them. Well, yeah, I was going to say is, I mean, you could probably cover that up pretty easily, but you know, you do you. But we're not here to talk about the problematics of Elvis. It's fine. We'll move forward.
All right.
One of Dave's greatest quotes. If you want to make sense of my lyrics, you need a bong, a thesaurus, and a driver's side airbag.
Word.
Amen, brother. I got hula girls on the back of my leg. Ain't she hula when I walk?
I mean, why else would you get hula girls on your leg unless you actually like want them to hula? Yeah, of course. You know, that's obvious, Dave.
I like.
Well, this is obviously older Dave because those legs aren't toned, right? There's a little jiggle to them to make him hula, right? So.
I remember, you know, an interview with Dave or something, you know, because, you know, obviously he did the ink tattoo thing. He had his own tattoo company for a while there. And, you know, speaking cherry red, electric green, purple mountains, all that kind of stuff. Those are actually tattoo colors, I guess. Like he was actually really getting into tattoo culture then. Mm-hmm. And was incorporating that stuff.
So, yeah, he went all in on that.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, man. Wait, yeah. I remember the first time I saw that on his back. I thought that was Photoshopped, you know? I'm like, nah. it wasn't Photoshopped. Yeah.
So lyrically, Eric, this is all new, right? Because I think the 77 version was called Down in Flames. Is that correct?
Right. Down in Flames. Yeah, this is totally revamped lyrics. Okay. And this is, Dave is just clever with his lyrics, man. Mouse Wife to Mom Shell and the time it took to get that new tattoo. it's similar to what was the one you guys were talking about? By the time dreams come true, I'm no longer me. And it's just about people changing. And in this case, it's this shy housewife, and all of a sudden she's becoming a bombshell, getting a tattoo, and letting loose whoever that. Whoever the husband is, look out.
Look, I love that key change too. Like I said, when you go back and think about Van Halen, the way he was writing, because he was so clearly influenced by Billy Gibbons in a lot of ways with that, especially on the blues side. That key change is totally ZZ Top, right? Like it's legs, mm-hmm. it's the same thing where he's just that big step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people walked into Dave's tattoo shop, was there somebody there saying, "This is a tattoo shop"?
this is a tattoo shop like every time you open the door it's like ding ding ding, this is a tattoo shop.
Rosho was one big ad for the tat cream, there you go.
Yeah,
if they would have kept the title Down in Flames and somebody would have said Down in Flames, that kind of would have been badass, right? To say that at the beginning of the song, especially if it was done with a little bit of an evil voice, but just, you know, tattoo.
Tattoo.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Up on mountains, majesty, you can talk to me, talk to me. Swap meet Sally, tramp stamp cat, mouse wife to mom shell, in the time it took to get that new tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo.
What's a mouse wife?
Mouse wife is a shy housewife. Wife.
Like a mousy housewife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Doesn't love that
talk, lyric. Doesn't say anything, doesn't want to cause any trouble.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden she gets a tattoo.
She gets a flaming dragon over way. Her back and charge. Yeah, she's a mom shot. Right. Absolutely.
Right?
I see.
The whole reference to Trap Stamp, I have a question. Maybe did that originate with Wedding Crashers? That's the first time I ever heard about the Trap Stamp. You know the movie?
That was long before that.
Oh, was it? Was it before?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the first time I ever heard of it.
it's kind of a, I don't know, maybe because I live in the South and Tramp Stamps are, well, they're everywhere. And so I guess I was just attuned to that particular lingo a little earlier than I probably should have been. So yeah, I can confirm that terminology was around before that movie.
So here's Tom saying Dave's cock of the walk attitude is all over the vocal, which is both good and bad. I think it's all good.
Mine is good.
I think it's all good too. Yeah,
at the moment it's all good, but I think I understand where Tom might be coming from with this.
I don't want Dave any other way than just, I'm the shit. Look out. Nobody's better than me. He's got the biggest ego in rock, and that's what I want. That's the way I like.
I don't want Dave singing When It's Love. I want Dave singing
Right.
Wife to Mom Shell, you know?
he does have like this, just the cockiest strut, you know, just the head shaking back.
Eric, would you agree on his re-recordings, though?
Horrible.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Uh-huh.
Sorry, you cut out.
I'm sorry, I can't comment. No, I like them, but they're not, you know, they listen, there, his voice is not what it was. It's, you know, I can't live in fantasy. But
the confidence hasn't gone away. But, I'm just saying.
But the confidence hasn't gone away. The character and his voice. And I got to tell you, the little things like when he did on You Really Got Me, it's just the little things he does. This is why I love Dave. And he, at the very end, he says, "Oh, you got me." You know, and he just throws in those little things. He's got the sense of humor. He's got the style. It's him. So I can't. I'm not. Does it suck? I mean, I know, Mark, you don't like it at all. You're hearing like that it's weak, and he just sounds tired.
Up, he just sounds tired. So tired, and it's like, did no one just tell him, "Hey, you don't have to, just don't do that. Just don't. You're cool. It's fine."
Go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I agree. I'm the biggest Dave fan, but I don't see the point. Like, why come out with these songs, re-recordings of old Van Halen songs that are amazing? It's sort of versions that can't help be inferior. Not just because Dave can't do it as much vocally anymore, but also because who's gonna live up to the original Van Halen sound, especially this. And the production of Ted Templeman, even like why do this? It just seems.
Yeah. My whole thing was, who is this for? Is he trying to prove something? Because if he is, I don't think he's doing it. And
that's the question everybody has.
Yeah. And so it's like, I don't know who this is for exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's neither here nor there. That's a digression, but still.
Let's save some material for episode two, because we're
still on episode one.
Let's just go through some viewer comments here. Scott says, "I enjoy hearing Ed's backing vocals in this section." Absolutely. Yeah. Chaz says that the trip stamp, I think he meant tramp stamp lyric, is hard to sing while playing. I imagine it would be. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaz, tasteless to call it Roth Live and position it as Van Halen free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like it can't help but be inferior, because it doesn't matter how good your band is. It's not Van fucking Halen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's keep rolling.
Show me your dragon magic.
Tattoo.
So I don't buy your graphic.
Best believe that needle hurts you. Best to see these true colors that follow one of your false virtues.
Ah, come on, Mark. You gotta love Mark.
No, honestly, I'm not laughing at the lyrics. I'm laughing at this sounds like Dave's audition to do movie trailer voiceovers. And I'd buy that for $1.
In a world where Mouse Wife turns into Mom Show. The needle won't hurt you. Best to see these true colors.
Remember, Mark, we talked about Dave and his wheelhouse. This is Dave's wheelhouse right here.
Absolutely.
Right?
And
he doesn't own a wheelhouse. It's all good. He can sing anything. He can sing the phone book. But Dave's in his wheelhouse here, and I think sounding pretty cool.
Yeah, I love the "that knee will hurt you, that needle hurt you." Huh? Needle?
Yeah. 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 He slipped into the white magic.
It's very clever.
Hey, I would more than happy to get a Buddhist riff in my inner ear anytime.
A little more Diamond Dave for you.
To make you think, why is the crazy stuff we never say? Poetry in it, speaking Negro red. Explode opaque, up on mountains, majesty. Show me you, I'll show you me. Swap meat salad, shrimp stamp chat. Mouse wife to mom shell in the time it took to get that new tattoo. That new tattoo.
All right. Tom agrees. Dave's wheelhouse, low and slow. Yeah, that sounds about right. Especially in 2012.
Yeah.
Listen to how he did Panama on the Tokyo Live record. Oh, my God.
I'd rather not. I will say, I really like that line, though, that here's the secret to make you think, why is the crazy stuff we never say poetry and ink? That I like, because that's very true in a lot of...
Absolutely, yeah.
Mark, you're coming around, Mark.
Look, okay. That's fine. I'll take that, because I've been very vocal in, going against Corey's whole notion of everything Dave says is absolute poetry. It's like,
I didn't say not everything.
You pretty much have said everything.
98%.
That's a lot. And I'll be the 2%, or I'll highlight the 2% that's not.
Dave never this put the cream Dave in my coffee. In,
this isn't Dave cramming in the lyrics either.
He does that a lot, these days, and that's great lyrics, but then he tries to jam too much in, and it's sort of, it's clunky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Good word. Yep.
I know that when I'm going to go get a giant dragon tattoo on my back, I'm going to say to the artist, you know what? I want some of that sexy dragon magic. And if you don't give me sexy dragon magic, then I'm out of here.
Exactly.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Dave said that. You got to know he actually said that.
But it always reminds me, though, the way he sings sexy dragon. When he sings that, he just reminds me of John Lovitz in The Wedding Singer. It's got the same sort
Jimmy
of...
Jimmy Miller, everybody.
It's so corny. I don't know. Just that one line, right?
I'm quitting the podcast. I can't go on. John fucking Lovitz, Kevin, really?
Hey, do not talk shit about John Lovitz. That
listen to the intonation.
Have you ever heard John Lovitz perform Rebel Yell? It's fucking great.
No.
I've never heard that. No, I got to check that out.
That's look funny. It up, you guys. It's great. He even dresses like Billy Idol. That's not great, but the singing is great.
All right. Tom says, I want to listen, watch the Tokyo show for the band, but don't want to hear Dave. Well, Dave does have some decent tracks on the show. Like you listen to like Chinatown and stuff like that. He does that really good actually on the Tokyo Dome album. But yeah, the older stuff like Panama just does not age well. And then Chad says, these are great lyrics. A Different Kind of Truth truly had some of his best work as a lyrical gangster.
Totally. I agree. I when it comes to Tokyo Dome, it's a travesty that the only live album that ever came out with Dave is that. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you go back to what they were doing during the Fair Warning tour, it's mind-blowing how great a live album could have been. Like,
You know, there was quite a conversation on our Twitter a couple of weeks ago where guys were saying that Dave was never a good live singer. And just from what I've seen, like I've never seen him live, unfortunately, when Dave was singing. But you look online, obviously there were times he was a great live singer.
Totally,
the first he was a great frontman. That's what I would say for sure.
No, if you listen to the first Van Halen tour when they were opening for Sabbath, there, like he's killing it. Like he's and the screams and everything. I mean, he's killing it on that. I think he gets lazy. I think he actually gets lazy. Didn't take care of his voice.
And drinks.
Yeah, drank his face off. Yeah.
Well, none of
I think that was the. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're okay. I just was gonna say I think that was mostly the issue. Is he drank a lot, like the U.S. festival? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the U.S. festival, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is if he was like, if he was relatively, But that's what I'm saying. Is like that's what I think his biggest. Like he had a great voice and he could use it. It's just when he wanted to, and like if he drank too much. So,
Scott, what is your take on David Lee Roth as a singer?
The live clips I've heard from him are not too bad. I've not seen that many. I think he has a good voice. I think that he was really in his wheelhouse with this band. I think this is the kind of stuff that he's suited to do. I don't know that I could hear him doing anything outside of this kind of music, but I like the way his voice sounds on this song. I think it's very strong.
Maybe missing some screams, though. The Got a Hold on Me line really shows how Dave's early scream is missed.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's
listen to Van Halen 1. He's screaming all over that thing.
Oh yeah.
But he lost the scream. That train whistle sort of scream he used to have. Like he hasn't had it for God, I don't know how many years.
A little late enough, you start to hear it's not there as much. At the beginning of A Little Late Enough, he does it and it's you're hearing it start to fall off. And then 94, Your Filthy Little Mouth. It was like a whole different singer.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like all of a sudden he just reached these different octaves and that was bizarre. I mean, I remember seeing him live on that tour and he looked different, sounded different. Just his whole aura had changed. Everything was different. But the high, so if you listen to Skyscraper, there. He's hitting the high notes, but he's at his peak, in my opinion, on Crazy from the Heat, the EP, and Eat Him and Smile. And Easy Street, to me, is hands down his best vocal performance of them all, I think.
Well, let's see if everyone agrees with this statement. Dave was fucking perfect for what this band was.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that could have taken his place? And the idea that Sammy, they had considered him to be the singer because things weren't working with Dave, struggling in the studio, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard the story, right? Mm-hmm. Sammy did not sound like the Sammy Hagar that we know in those days. When he was singing with Montrose, he was still finding his voice. You listen to his first three solo albums, it's not until, I'm trying to think, this one, Danger Zone, when he gets to, I'm trying to think which album where he starts to find it. The song Red is really like, that's the first time he finds his voice. Otherwise, he's still singing like he did in Montrose. So I don't think he would have worked at all on that first album. I think when he arrived in 1985, 86, perfect time.
And they you know, Templeman talked about to Greg Renoff that he was going to get rid of Dave. Dave was struggling in the studio, but then he realized, he realized that Dave had this lyrical flair for one thing, but he also realized that his voice had so much personality, and they could really make it happen and be perfect for the band.
Yep.
Scott pointed out he has a few screams on A Different Kind of Truth, and I wonder if they are current day recorded or pulled from the vault.
Yeah, some people wondered about that.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then Tom said,
maybe he could only muster one scream.
Well, he does manage in that album on, not Honey Baby Sweetie Doll, which is the one. As is, he does it. As is, I think he gets close to that old Dave's scream. Yeah.
And Ray says the 81 Oakland Coliseum show has Dave's voice spot on. Oh, yeah. So there you go. Yeah. I'll seek that out.
Yeah. So those shows never recorded, Eric? Like those early shows, they just never recorded any of those early shows with Dave?
No. I mean, those were just specifically filmed for the videos. In fact, some of Noel Monk, the band's manager, said some of what you see there was actually filmed during the rehearsals there was no live audience. But Michael Anthony said that they did he say they recorded all those shows back in the day? I know in places like what's that venue in I want to say Washington, but I know it's not that, where they anybody that played there, they would record the whole show and it would go up on the big screen. Maryland. Somebody help me here. I mean, Maryland. I'm thinking, hold on, let me see. And all the bands that came through there, Largo, Maryland.
Okay.
Good. Okay, those shows, yeah. So those are pro shot because the venue itself had them filmed. But anyway, yeah, that Oakland, I don't think the whole show exists. I think it was just for those songs.
There's got to be a lot of bootlegs out there, though, right?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Atlantic Capital Center in Largo. But Stay Frosty has a wicked scream towards the end. Yeah.
And Dave's voice was perfect for the albums he sang on. No one could do it like Dave, in my opinion. I agree with Mike there.
Yeah, me too.
So does Tom. And then Ray says, Hear About It Later has a live video from 1981. I got to check that out.
That was it. Hear About It Later, Unchained. And So This Is Love. Brand new Oakland scarf right here, I say. Ever see that? Dave.
All right, let's keep going with Tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the best part, Corey. I love this. This is classic Ed at the very end. It just
is. Ed's guitar playing is so ferocious. Ed's guitar was just so ferocious on that album, you know?
That's a great word to describe it.
Yeah, it's the fact that that was his last recorded work. I mean, it's such a testament that he went out so strong. Like,
yep, he did. Amazing. Corey, can you back it up a little bit and just play? Because I love that when Ed does that, he just sustains and just.
Anything for you, Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to the end of the bomb.
It goes all the way to the verse.
On a geek note, do you know what bridge did he have on his guitar? Is that just a Floyd? It must is Floyd Rose, or does he have some kind of weird?
Unless he unless he modified it.
He probably modified it, but it might
probably on a Wolfgang.
Yeah, it might be Floyd Rose originally.
Yeah, because no guitar should stay in tune after that.
No, he does the thing I talk about a lot, man. I'm a big fan of the dive bombs, and he just
I love his dive bombs.
Opens with the dive bomb, and that right away, your bridge is just gonna by its nature just bends. And so yeah, there's probably a lot of little guitar tech trickery going on there. And you know, why wouldn't it? It's Eddie.
Yeah, he constructed the guitar that was like just right, but it took him a long time. And
yeah,
just feels right, comfortable. Everything is right where it should be. Yeah, he was tinkering with guitars for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I love this comment here from Chaz because he plays a song. He said the lead is so much fun to play. That's the thing. His shit was fun.
Yeah.
Weird.
When he would play live, how often would he switch out his guitars? Would it be every song or two?
Question.
Oh, no, I don't think every song or two.
No.
Might depend on the set, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say it depends on the tour of the set.
Yeah.
Early days, he hardly did it all, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually Blair's played with his Frankenstrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even just thinking, even if it was like Spanish Fly, he didn't, you know, it wasn't like going to break out the acoustic on stage. Not much.
I remember seeing.
You know, like little guitars that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had that tiny guitar, right? That he would play for little guitars. Yeah. I've never seen. Yeah.
That one. Yep. It's on Us Festival when you look at that. Yeah. And the Us Festival solo eruption. That solo is my favorite of all the live Eddie eruptions. And somebody pointed out on here too that I think he said the Summer Nights, the live Summer Nights, or he said the live 5150 from Live Without a Net. Both of those are freaking outstanding.
Yeah.
Summer Nights, such a great song.
Oh, and the live version from Live Without a Net.
Bananas, yeah.
When I saw Sammy this year, he played, like, they didn't play it, but before he came out, they played Summer Nights, like, over the venue. It was really cool.
Yeah, same.
Very cool.
Yep, yeah.
That got Goosebumps, everyone hyped. Right?
Hell yeah, Goosebumps, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God, I was so excited.
Yeah. What a groove on that.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get back in, Corey, so I'm not too sure.
Okay, Frankies. Swapped out a lot of multiple Frankies, yeah.
Yeah, different tunings, obviously, on those, right? So
before you go in, Corey, I just want to say, because I think where we come in, we're gonna basically, we've missed a verse, and it's basically, you know, musically it's the same, but okay. I was going to throw over to you, Heath. So we were talking earlier, and you mentioned earlier about Sammy was always very earnest in his lyrics, and this next verse that he sings is so different to the rest of the song, and it's like, Uncle Danny had a coal tattoo, you fought for the Union, some of us still do. On my shoulder is the number of the chapter he was in. That number is forever, like the struggle here to win. It's almost like a Steve Earle.
I know. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I didn't want to take away from all the Eddie guitar talk after that solo. But yeah, I remember when that came out, and I remember all the, you know, internet chatter and stuff like that, the social media chatter. People were saying, "Oh, Dave made this political statement," and it was this. He's pro union, and he made this political statement, and it's autobiographical. I really don't think it is. I mean, if you listen to Dave, he's a chameleon in his lyrics. Like he'll. I mean, you know, he didn't the mean streets either, but he's got the mean street. He's never been the atomic punk either. Like, I don't think that was autobiographical, but yeah, there is a very much a Steve Earle sort of vibe to that, isn't there?
Yeah. And it's just at odds with the rest of the lyrics. Like, I like that it's so cool that you get this, the song takes lyrically takes a big like left hand turn, and he's like, oh, that's interesting, that's different, you know.
And just the idea of the Cole tattoo, like if you think about what a Cole tattoo was, that's pretty. He's really done his research into the history of tattoos here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Steve Earle comparison. That's really cool. Good pull, Kevin. Because that is a very Steve Earle-esque verse, isn't it?
Yeah, I got to go back to some of those videos Dave put out on these songs because he broke them down in the lyrics. I can't recall if I think he did comment on that part, and I don't recall if it was autobiographical or just something that he read. Because that's a lot of what he would do, you know.
Right, well, read something, see something. So we could catch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uncle Danny had a cold tattoo. He fought for the Union. Some of us still do. On my shoulder is the number of the chapter he was in. That number is forever, like the struggle here to win. Everybody, Swampy Sally, Transdev Jack, Mom's wife to Mom Shelly, and the time it takes to get that new tattoo.
Look at you.
Love that. So good. Whew.
That's a great outro.
Yeah, man.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Cool.
So there you have it. Tattoo, the first single off of this album.
The Ric Flair. Woo! Woo.
Very good call. Very good call. So, there you have it. We've done our first song of the evening. So now comes the part where we all get to vote on how we feel about Tattoo. I know it just ended, so there's a lot to process, but I think for the most part, we're all familiar. I know I'm getting more familiar with the song. I haven't heard it since the first time. Scott, this I think might have been what, your first time hearing this song?
Very first time. I'm more familiar with it now than when we started.
Well, there you go. Well, no pressure whatsoever, but you guys know how this works. Just give old Corey a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and we'll ask you the question, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? Scott, we'll start with you. Does Tattoo from A Different Kind of Truth, is that what dreams are made of for you, or is it sadly the dream is over?
Well, he's really giving this a
good thing. He's thinking.
I'm going to go with thumbs up.
Nice air drumming from Kevin Brown.
Your thoughts on it, Scott?
It was a close call. I hate the chorus of the song. Just vocally, I just hate it. But musically, it's got a good groove to it. I like the riff. I like the simplicity of the backing. Alex is absolutely solid on this song. He doesn't overplay by any means. He's exactly where he needs to be. I think Eddie's playing is really good, especially the soloing at the end, I think kind of saved it for me. So I didn't hate it. I would listen to it again.
All right. Very, very good answer. That's one vote. Yes. We're going to go on up to Heath McCoy. Heath, is Tattoo what dreams are made of for you?
Yeah. I don't get the hate. I like it more after listening to it in this context. I think it's a really solid song. I just don't get that. Clever lyrics, super catchy. Everybody's playing their ass off. I think it's a great song.
There you are. Kelsey, we throw it to you.
I will say I wasn't a fan of this song like when we first started it, and I'm definitely more of a fan now. I actually like can kind of groove out to it. Like I said, Eddie always sounds good to me. But I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about like his vocals, and I like absolutely hate the way that they produced his vocals on this album, actually, like this one, on You and Your Blues, on She's the Woman. Like, I don't know if it's the way that he sounds or like the way that they layered it or like whatever, like, you know, whatever they put on it, but I don't like the way that it sounds. But that being said, I definitely enjoy the song more now that we're done, like now that we've listened to it together and discussed it. So
all right, good call. Eric Sinich, how about you? Do I even have to ask?
Hold on, I'm calling my lawyer.
That was dirty cool, man. That was dirty cool.
I know the poor guy's got COVID. I'm sorry.
I'm running out of gas. I'm like,
mean as hell.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't. Listen, it's a great song. I prefer the high energy in your face kind of Van Halen that we know and love. And especially on this album, like Bullethead and She's the Woman in Chinatown. But having said that, it's a good tune, man. It's got a great groove, and Eddie's doing his thing. And Dave's in his zone. He's got some great lyrics on it. Can't complain. Again, I just wouldn't have picked it as a first single. That's all. But good tune.
Well, there we go. 4 for 4 so far. Will the X Factor come from Kevin Brown?
Yeah, my thoughts on that, the song, my thoughts on it haven't changed from sort of what I said before. And it's a fairly average Van Halen, just only because they wrote some fucking superb songs, but it's a fairly average song. What I love about it is the rhythm section. Alex and Wolfie just laid down that big, fat rhythm. It's fantastic. It's a great groove, like Kelsey said. It's a good groove. And then that third verse just gives it a dimension that I don't really usually listen for in a Dave song. So, it's a good song. I enjoy it.
There you go. All right. So, Corey, will you be the one to break the trend, or what say you?
You know, I will echo Scott's comments on the chorus. Definitely not my favorite chorus. It's kind of weird, although I do love the line, mouse wife to mom shell, in the time it took to get a new tattoo. I really love that line and how it was delivered. But in that third verse, I thought it was really great, too. It's the rhythm section that saves it for me. I am missing a little Alex. He's been known, as we've been doing the show, Mark, we pointed out a lot. He puts little accents in when Eddie's doing his solo, right? Little thing with the cymbals, maybe a little thing with the hat, just something a little different to kind of stand out. He didn't do that on this track. I was kind of missing that. I agree with Eric totally. It's a good song. Definitely wouldn't pick this as the first single, though. I'm still, partial to She's the Woman as a single. But
I mean, just out of the gate, Dave's back. First album.
Yeah.
Van Halen album that he's on since 1984.
Tattoo. It's like, oh, really?
Oh, it should have been She's the Woman. I think most people think
She's the Woman would have been. Yeah.
Chinatown would have been great.
You know, I mean, Blood and Fire, just to me.
Song like Big River. He had this big energy on. It just wasn't on this track, but definitely.
But Blood and Fire is about the band, what they went through, and we're back.
And such a good hook, too, on that song.
Bullethead.
Vote for Bullethead, too. There you go.
Great tune.
And then when Kevin ran away,
yeah. I was thinking the same thing. As soon as you heard that, Kevin's like,
I ran out of beer. I ran out of beer. That can't happen. Yeah.
Nope, can't have it.
All right, so Mark, that's everybody except you. You have yet to vote. You are notorious for being a David Lee Roth hater.
Wow.
Well, that's what the trolls tell us anyway.
I mean, yeah, that is what they say.
Each week, it just gets worse and worse. You want David Lee Roth dead? Whoa!
Yeah, you got to burn down his house.
I already said he's leaving forever.
All right, Mark, what is your vote? Is this dream over, or is this what dreams are made of?
I actually can understand why this was the single they chose, because there are a lot of, dare I say, Van Halen-isms that you can find in this, especially with Roth coming back. I wouldn't say Roth is at the top of his vocal game in this, because no, those days have come and gone. However, he is not the worst. He's certainly not what he sounds like right now. I know that sounds like a jab, but I apologize anyway. Lyrically, I think what he's doing works for the song. So, I mean, there's a line or two in there where I'm kind of laughing a little bit, but that's just all in good fun. But honestly, it fits. It fits with what he's talking about. He's actually, there's a purpose to the song. The solo, I mean, do I even need to comment on the solo? I know I say the same things over and over again, but what do you want? It's an Eddie Van Halen rip-roaring awesome solo, starting off with a dive bomb. So I'm partial to that. It's going to be a full yes for me on that one. So I agree with you, Corey, though. A little bit lacking in the Alex department. Not to say that he's not doing anything important, but... Yeah, he's not. I don't hear a particular thing that makes him sort of. We joke about how when Alex and Eddie play, Eddie's going to do his thing, and then Alex, not to be outdone, is going to go, "Oh, that's cool, but check this, keep up." Didn't get a lot of that. Didn't get a lot of back and forth with the two of them on this one. So that was kind of a bummer, but the song still works. And to me, it sounds like a soft introduction or reintroduction for people to, hey, remember Van Halen with David Lee Roth? We're back. We don't want to overwhelm you too much. So listen to this one just to get you kind of in the mood. And then you can take the full on journey with maybe some more powerful tunes that are on the album. And then all I have to say is, at least this isn't a Honey Baby Sweetie Doll or whatever the hell it's called. So yeah, that's a yes for me. Clean sweep all around.
I had a thought about Alex's, the thing about, you said about Alex's drums. Like, yeah.
Me too. You go first.
Oh, sorry.
You go first.
Sorry, man. Yeah. You know, he's just playing like a straight beat, straight groove pretty much. And I wonder if it's because Wolfgang's there and Wolfgang steps up, like Wolfgang's playing heavier and more complicated and everything than usually Michael did. And so you need somebody then to hold it down. Like usually it was Michael that would be the holding it down while Alex and Eddie both got to go off, you know, but this time Wolfgang's going off. So Alex needs to keep it more simple. Maybe like,
Yeah.
I was thinking the same, it's kind of, cause it doesn't have that big change in the bridge. There's no change of direction. So there's no real room for Alex to come in and syncopate anything or sort of take this weird left turn. So all he has to do is sit behind the beat. That's all he's got to do. It's like, you know, Jim Keltner on the End of the Line by Traveling Wilburys. Doesn't play a cymbal through that whole song, but that's what the song needs. And, you know, Mark, Corey, you always talk about that, is serving the song's really important, and Van Halen does that really, really well. So it's just a song where Alex thinks, all I've got to do is keep this groove going. Let Wolfie sit over top of it, and all I've got to do is keep that groove going.
Yeah, yep. And it works. You know, this this is a perfectly fine song, and I personally understand why this might have been chosen as the single. But I will agree, around the board, is it their best on the album? No, but it's a good song. It's a good song. I can see it to it. So
it is a good
yay song. Happy surprise for me.
Now, for everybody watching right now, I put the poll up on Twitter. What's your vote on Tattoo? We've already had one vote, and it's This Dream Is Over. So if you like this song, get out there.
Mariano's in the house.
Mariano already, yeah. We got a few votes here for potential first singles, Blood and Fire. That was one was mentioned. She's the Woman. We agree with that one. Yeah, also another one for Blood and Fire. Yeah. What Dreams Are Made Of, Sexy Dragon Magic is going to be the name of my David Rock tribute band. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Should have
called it. What Dreams Are Made Of for sure. And discussion always helps. What Dreams Are Made Of. So there you go. Tom was kind of ambivalent on this track going into tonight, and he upvoted it. So, and I see already we got another vote. So we're at 50-50 now. What Dreams Are Made Of, and This Dream Is Over. But Mark, maybe we'll update that on show number two, which we're going to be recording, any minute now.
Any minute now, yes. You are the producer. You tell me when it is time to do it.
Wrap it up.
Well, for show number one, we're going to go ahead and come to a close. So I want to thank Heath McCoy, Kelsey, Eric Sinish, Scott Haskin, and Kevin Brown for joining us for show number one. And if you liked what you heard and you want to stay tuned for what comes next, because there is going to be more, stay tuned for show number two. But as show number one goes, that is it for us. On behalf of Corey and myself, thank you for sticking with us for 1 year, and stay with us for season two. It's going to get even more, I'm sure, crazy and rocking, as only we can do. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.